Welcome back, Weekend Warriors. Thanks so much for tuning in and each and every Saturday. Telling all your friends. It's just great to be in that car with you at home, coming out of that little radio. Yes, I'm living in there. If you get a screwdriver and you take apart the front, there's a little Dr. Clapper in there.
This is pretty cool.
Wearing a little white coat, and I'm running around inside the radio. Let me out of here! Nope. I'm actually here at ESPN in the studio with Steve Paulette. We should have a contest and have a listener, a loyal listener, Steve Paulette, spend a day with us, spend the morning with us here in the station. That's really great. Get to see how the magic happens. By the way, there's no other show like this. Because I completely dreamed this up, like another crazy invention. I love the world of art, I love the world of sports, and I love the world of surgery. So whatever topic, it's fun for me to try to figure out how to connect the dots. If they are all the same, they better be the same. And I never know really where the guest and the topic's going to come from. I have a couple of weeks lead time, and then I start using my imagination. So I knew we'd be talking about more and more of these players coming from Australia, our Australian connection. And let's just have fun and see what exactly does Australia mean to us living in America? Well, in the world of art, there's a guy who made a movie, kind of like Sylvester Stallone, sitting in his little apartment, struggling to be an actor in this town. Wrote the movie Rocky. It was a great script. And one of the studios says, sure, we'll give you a few bucks. We'll buy the script. He says, good. I need to star in it. I want to be the actor in the movie. Oh, no. You're not big enough for that. He said, well, then I'm not making the movie with you. Sylvester Stallone made the deal so that he could star in Rocky. And it's one of the greatest movies of all time. Good for him, or as they say in Australia, good on you, mate. Well, the Sylvester Stallone Rocky story happened by a guy named Paul Hogan, who wrote his movie. He didn't make it till he was 40-something years old and became an overnight success around the world. And he means Australia to a lot of people in the art world. But what a beautiful guy he is. He's 80 years old now. Very humble. Considers himself lucky. He's living life the right way, not feeling like such a big shot. But that's because he started out as a rigger, as a carpenter, as a guy who works with his hands, taking care of the Sydney Harbor Bridge. Saved a guy's life from jumping off the bridge one day. He gets interviewed all these years later, and he's just, yeah, I was just in the right place at the right time. No big deal. What a beautiful man. Listen to Paul Hogan being interviewed on one of the local Sydney radio shows, TV shows.
You got a bravery award for some pretty brave stuff you did on the bridge. Tell me about that.
It shouldn't have been a bravery award. It should have been called for being fearless and stupid. No, I just stopped a guy from leaping off there. As a young man, life can't be that tough. And just sort of talked him out of it and hung on to him.
Life can't be that tough. That's how he sees life. Boy, we can learn a lot from Paul Hogan.
Luck and timing. And I was lucky I lived in the real world and had all sorts of odd jobs and grubby jobs.
Because you weren't famous. Your star wasn't born until you were about 30 or 32,
yeah,
was it?
That's right. I'm a late starter. I made my first movie at 47 and did all right. But having a proper working blue-collar background before you get into this fame and fortune thing, I think that's an advantage.
He gives full credit to the guy he met early in the day. Basically, he worked as a rigger, physical laborer, and they had like a talent show on Australian television called New Faces. And he, like everyone else in Australia, like American Idol, used to watch, and they had the judges. And he figured, you know what? It's time for someone to make fun of the judges. So he must have done this while working on the job site. And his buddy said, if you think you can do it, Mr. Big Shot, you should try. Go make fun of the judges. What talent do you have? He said, I can be a tap dancing knife thrower. He doesn't know how to tap dance and he doesn't know how to throw a knife. But that's what he signed up for the talent show. Except when he got up there in front of the judges, he started to make fun of them. He shuffled his feet a little bit. He threw the knives in the floor, but been making fun of the judges. The crowd went crazy. They asked them to come back. He got discovered by this man. Listen to how he gives credit to this guy for seeing a talent in him, even though he didn't see it himself.
Yeah, I was discovered by a few different people, but John was the one who knew what to do with me.
John
Cornell.
Otherwise,
I'd have been back on the bridge, I'd say. Yeah.
Simple as that?
Yeah, simple as that, yeah. He saw potential in me that I didn't see, or anyone else.
That's just beautiful.
Every Australian needs to stand up and cheer this fella, because he's not just a comic, he is an Australian giant.
It's giant.
Well, I'm nowhere near as tall as people think I am on the screen. It was all flattering, but it was a bit embarrassing.
Then they hire him to be the spokesperson to help the struggling tourism business in Australia. And apparently the TV people who made the promotional ad said, listen to how this guy speaks. You don't want this guy. Well, turns out the head of the tourism board comes from the same part of Australia, has the same accent. He says, what's the matter? You don't like his accent? And he's saying it with the same Australian accent that Paul Hogan had. So he gives credit to that guy for launching his career. And as soon as he started making ads, tourism skyrocketed in Australia.
Sydney had not one decent hotel. The tourism industry basically didn't exist.
You look like you need a holiday, a fair dinkum holiday.
He offered Hogs the role of promoting our country to America.
And you're going to have to learn to say g'day. Because every day's a good day in Australia.
G'day, Paul.
G'day, love.
Oh, beautiful. I remember these ads.
We went to desired destination number one from 28 in a few months.
Come and say g'day. I'll slip an extra shrimp on the barbie for you.
So many Australians say to me, you should have said prawn on the barbie. But I just know that there's two expressions that went into the language and are still there. And that's slip a shrimp on the barbie, and that's not a knife.
And your wallet.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
He takes out a machete. The guy's got himself a little Swiss Army knife. He takes out a machete and goes, this is a knife. But there was a lot of thought that went behind Crocodile Dundee, 1986, which he co-wrote. Because in that movie is who this man is. In that movie, Rocky, is who Sylvester Stallone really is. Paul Hogan's humor, they call it fish-out-of-water type humor. But he's trying to say more than that, which is you don't have to take your knife out and slice up the guy. Like the Terminator and all the other characters that we have. You can show someone that your knife is gigantic and that keeps them quiet. And you got the same job done. You basically put the fight away. Listen to Paul Hogan as to where and why he came up with, that's not a knife. This is a knife.
Do you remember when you came up with that line? What instigated it?
To me, it was an idea of sort of saying, instead of stabbing somebody, you know, just sort of repel an attack with humour and the suggestion that, you know, don't mess around with me, I'll carve you up, son.
Just kids having fun.
Such a beautiful way to live life, not taking it so seriously, like an Italian. That's why I love Italy. They don't take life that seriously, and yet they're the greatest artists of all time. So you don't have to be me, 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 and be loud and boisterous. You can actually get the job done with humor in a self-deprecating way. Listen to these announcers in Sydney talking to their favorite giant in the sports world. The very first Australian to come to the NBA was Luke Longley, who came to the Chicago Bulls in 1994 and won three rings with Michael Jordan. But listen to how the interviewers kibitz with him, mock him in a beautiful way, and he mocks himself. This is the way to live your life and makes you even more successful.
For Aussies making it in the NBA is Luke Longley, who played 11 seasons in the US. He won 3 championships with the Chicago Bulls in the mid-90s. He was the best player on the team as well, no doubt. He joins us now from his home in Fremantle. I've forgotten the bloke called Jordan.
I've forgotten a bloke called Michael Jordan. You're the best player, Luke Longley. Certainly the best Australian.
Do you keep in contact with those guys? Can you call Michael Jordan if you want to? The second part of the question is, I've still got a Luke Longley Upper Deck basketball card from season 1992-93. How much is that worth?
And now hear Luke Longley respond.
Okay, so answer to number one is I keep in touch with all of them. Phil Jackson, Steve Kerr, Scottie Pippen. Not so much MJ, he's harder to track. I think he changes his phone once a week. I have no idea what the cards are worth. I hope they're worth a lot because I've got a drawer full of them somewhere.
Luke Longley.
You were a trailblazer. What was it like when you first rolled up into the United States as a big man from Perth? A lot of people wouldn't have even known in all seriousness where you were coming from, being from Australia in the States at that stage.
Yeah, well, if they'd known, they could have told me. I didn't know what was going on either. I went to college because it looked like fun.
He's a trailblazer. Ben Simmons from the 76ers, Australia. Dante Exum. Remember Bogut? He's from Australia. Matthew Dellavedova, point guard, helped LeBron win in Cleveland. They're all from Australia, but the guy who came first was this guy, Luke Longley.
I was never the most talented kid growing up. I was obviously the biggest, but there's lots of guys, Andrew Vlahov, Mark Brecky, guys who I always thought would have gone to the NBA before me. So when I rocked up, I was playing against guys who I'd seen on posters, and it wasn't the day of the internet and that sort of thing. You had to go and sort of hassle people for posters. It was very hard to find basketball posters in those days. So I rocked up into the NBA and it was just entirely surreal. I really, I was lost for the first year or two. It took me a couple of years to find my feet, overwhelmed. And there was really no one over there. No, I didn't have a lot of Australians over there supporting me at that stage, but it sort of grew. And when I got to Chicago, I found a home. And, that was really the turning point for me. Phil Jackson took me under his wing and gave me a role, and I thrived in that situation.
He was drafted in 1991 and went to Minnesota. Played for 2 years and did not do well. But Shaquille O'Neal was taking over the league, and Phil Jackson says, we need a big Australian, 7'2", Luke Long. We need him to really go at Shaquille O'Neal. And that's when they drafted him. And he got to play with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Phil Jackson as the coach. He pretty much felt like he died and went to heaven.
No, it happens slowly, and it happens day in, day out as you practice hard every day and as you go through the trenches and play with injuries and do all those things that you do. That's how you win respect. You don't do it overnight in the NBA, certainly not with guys like Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. But probably the moment I knew that I had arrived was when I got injured and spent a couple of weeks out of the team, and MJ came back to me and asked me to hurry back because no one was setting screens for him. So once MJ starts to hassle you about getting back on the court, you know you're missed.
It's amazing. You know you're missed when Michael Jordan's coming looking for you. Here's Phil Jackson, who came to MC a dinner that Luke Longley was putting on for a charity. What kind words, and how Phil Jackson feels about not only Luke Longley, but this really sums up Paul Hogan, and this sums up Australia for all of us.
Well, it was destiny that brought Luke Longley to the Chicago Bulls. In 1995, in a search for a big man, a big body, to stand in the way of the vicious attack by Shaq O'Neal, we went and traded for Luke Longley and brought him to the Chicago Bulls.
Wow.
Luke became the starting center on a team of destiny, one that would win 3 championships and more games in successive seasons than any team has ever done in the NBA. Luke was the one with the big body, but he was also the guy with the biggest and warmest heart.
Wow.
He was always ready for a good day mate or good on you when someone did something good. On a team that boasted unity, Luke was the one that threw a steak on the barbie and the shrimp and invited his mates over to join. He was a unifier. He also represented Australia well. We had to put up with watching highlights of Australian rules football. And his enduring loyalty to the Fremantle Dockers. And Guy, he forced us to watch Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which we had a player who vied for those three roles in Dennis Rodman.
They don't take life that seriously, but they work damn hard. I mean, that's the yin and yang. That's what you do. The Greeks knew it. Tragedy and comedy. You mix both. You play hard, you work hard. You got to have both. Otherwise, it makes for a very boring and intense life. So you need to neutralize it. Whether you're in art, your sports, or your medicine, you take it seriously, but you also need to bring, you need to bring a fair amount of humor to your life. Coming up next, I want to talk about shoulders today. There's a rotator cuff that I fixed yesterday in a man with a heart transplant. Can you imagine? Someone else's heart is beating in his chest, but he can't lift his arm up anymore. How did I fix it? What did I use? What happens to your rotator cuff? And I'll take your calls. The clinic will be open. The number is 877-710-ESPN. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. I love this song. It is my favorite song. The Game of Love. Michelle Branch and the great Carlos Santana. You know, I'm just thinking about shrimp on the Barbie. I'm thinking about a barbecue. And when I think of barbecue, yeah, steaks are great, burgers are great. And if you put bits of bacon in the burger and then you make the burger, which they do at Manhattan Beach Meats in Manhattan Beach, in the butcher shop. But they make chicken kebabs. And they marinate. I don't even know what they marinate these things in. So they take cubes of the chicken on one of these giant sticks with onion, green pepper, and mushrooms. And they marinate it. It seems like for weeks. You go to the butcher shop, you buy some of these chicken kebabs. You take it home, and you put it on your barbecue. And I burn, I'm a burner. I'm not interested in rare anything. And chicken, you definitely don't want to have rare. I cook the living hell out of it. And I think the secret is on your barbecue, you have to have it high, and then the burners next to it, medium. So it can really cook as well as sear it. Oh my God, it's the greatest chicken you will ever have in your life, are these chicken kebabs. So shrimp on the Barbie. Chicken on the Barbie, Manhattan Beach Meats. Here's a clapper vision for you, for all of you with shoulders. And I'm pretty sure all of you listening have two shoulders. So get ready. You're all either pre-op or post-op. Sooner or later, you're going to end up having to talk to an orthopedic surgeon. Because eventually, we fall apart. Don't shoot the messenger, but that's just the fact. What is the rotator cuff? So if you take your right hand, and I want you to now feel your left shoulder. Put your right hand, palm down, boom. Feel your left shoulder. Your pec major muscle is right under the skin in front. That's where your nipple is. That's not what I'm talking about. The deltoid muscle, right under the skin that you can feel right now with your hand. That's not what I'm talking about. The trapezius muscle, which is in the back, along your shoulder, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the muscle that's deeper. So those four fingers, your index, your long, your ring, and your little finger that are now palm down on top of that shoulder is exactly what your rotator cuff looks like. because it's a series of four muscles just like your fingers are right now on top of your shoulder. So now wiggle with your palm down, wiggle up and down your little finger. Well, guess what? That's the rotator cuff muscle in the front. And when it fires, you get to lift your arm forward. The opposite one, your index finger, wiggle that guy up and down. Guess what? That's the portion of the rotator cuff that lets you reach behind you, okay? But when you now wiggle your long finger and your index finger up and down, and now I want you to curl those fingers back to the first knuckle. Bend those, just those two fingers. Leave your index and your little finger alone. Just curl up your long and your ring finger closer. Just curl it up. That's what a torn rotator cuff looks like. Literally, the cable pulls off the bone. So you can no longer lift your arm up to the side. And it hurts when you sleep. And it hurts when you reach in the backseat of your car. It hurts when you put your jacket on. Or for women, it hurts when you put your bra on. This is classic complaints for a torn rotator cuff of those two structures in between. But yesterday in surgery, the patient I operate on, with a heart transplant no less, he didn't just rip the attachment of the cable to the bone, like curling up the long and the index finger. Guess what he did? He also spread your fingers now, separate your fingers. He split the rotator cuff as well. The pattern of how the tendon tears is very important to me, the surgeon, because it's a world of difference in terms of what I got to do to fix it. So I literally had to take sutures, threads, and sew the two fingers back to be close again, not spread apart, but to be right next to each other. I had to do a side-to-side repair of the rip in addition to stitches where my fingernails were to put it back into where it pulled off the bone. This took me forever yesterday. Like a person, like my mother knitting a sweater. Needle and thread and sewing and bringing stuff back to like a patch on your torn pair of jeans. How you would sew the patch to cover the hole in your jeans. Although nowadays no one seems to put a patch on jeans. They just wear them ripped and torn. Which I, for the life, man, I don't understand. You buy a new pair of pants and it has to have holes all over the place? Come to my house. I got plenty of jeans with holes in them. I'll give them to you. Oh, my God. This is a fashion trend. Crazy. My mother would be rolling in her grave right now if she saw what people are wearing. Let me get this straight, Robbie. You go to the store, you buy a brand new pair of pants that has a hole in it. I don't like. There's no way. Good thing she's not here, because I couldn't explain half the stuff that's going on. Yeah. I remember when GPS first arrived. She had her best friend in Florida named Florence. I told her, hey, Mom, how are you? Oh, fine, Robbie, how are you? She says, Robbie, guess what? This is the first GPS to occur in Florida, and her friend Florence got the first GPS car. I said, what? She goes, Robbie, guess what? Florence just got a new car. I said, oh, that's great. Congratulations to Florence. She goes, yeah, and she got a car that talks. To her, Siri, whoever it is, was in the GPS, could talk to her. She was like beside herself that the car could talk back to her.
Dr. Clapper.
You know what I want to do, though, Steve Paulette? You know how they do voiceovers in this town? I want a GPS that's from New York. I don't want this politically correct lady. I want you to like type in like Google Maps or the Waze, but I want it to be New York, where it goes, you stupid idiot, I told you to make a left. What are you making a right turn for? I hate this light. Forget about this light. I should have told you to go down another street. I mean, wouldn't it be great to have a Waze with a New Yorker giving you the directions? Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Slow down. This is my favorite pizza place. We'll get to your destination in a minute. That would be fantastic. All right, let's go to Steve in Tarzana. You're on with Dr. Clapper. How can I help?
Yeah, I was having a shoulder issue, and I finally went and had an MRI done.
Wait a minute. What do you do for a living?
Well, I used to do real estate, but now I just sort of manage the properties.
Good man. You're a smart man, Steve. Steven, can you hold on a second? I got to pay some bills, and I'll take your call right afterwards, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold on a second. All right. We'll pay some bills. We'll come back. I got to talk about your knee now. Wait till you hear what I found in a knee this week. You got to stop exercising, fellas and ladies. You're killing yourself. You're all going to end up in my office. And don't let them stick any cortisone in your knee, by the way. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warrior Show here on ESPN LA 710. Girl is on fire. This is on fire. I love this girl. She's walking on fire. She's on fire. That's fire. F-I-A-H. Fire. Alicia Keys. All right, let's get back to you, Steven Tarzana, with your shoulder. The real estate guy who bought all the land and now he's just collecting checks. Good job, Steven.
Just a couple.
And what did your father do for a living? How'd you get to be so smart?
Well, him. He did it. He set it up for me.
He set it up him. For you. And how about him? What's his story? Did he come to this country with nothing in his pocket? What's the story with your dad?
No, he was born in New York. Maybe his father came with nothing, but he was starting in New York in a schmata business.
A schmata business. The rags. Rags to riches. And you grew up here?
Yeah, in the valley, yeah.
What high school did you go to?
Grand High.
You're 62. Hey,
yeah.
When were you born?
1956.
What month? When's your birthday?
September.
Oh, okay, so you're going to be 63 soon.
63, yeah.
I'm going to be 62. I'm going to be your age in a couple of weeks, July 24th. What's it like to be 62? Best years of your life, Stephen.
I'm in my prime.
Exactly right. I told my wife this. Yesterday in surgery, I mean, I've been doing this for 30 years, was one of the most fun days, important days I've ever had. I mean, that I can remember. I did a shoulder. I did two hips. I did a knee, three knees. I just feel like I'm LeBron James. I'm Kobe Bryant with the knowledge of the years of experience. It just gets better and better. As long as you can stay healthy, Stephen, it's just fantastic to be 62 years old. Good for you. All right. Tell me what happened to you.
Well, I think it's just a lot of wear and tear of playing ball all my life, but finally went and had an MRI. My shoulder was killing me. And they got two parts to it, conclusions and findings.
No, I need to go either conclusions or impressions, but I'll take conclusions. Go. Read it slowly. You listen to the show. You know what Clapper Vision is?
No.
So why are you calling here? How'd you know to call?
You were highly recommended by a buddy of mine.
Okay. To call the radio station or come see me in the office?
Both.
I love it. Steve Paulette, you believe this? Crazy.
I'm seeing you Tuesday morning.
No, you're not. You're seeing me right now on Saturday. All right, read the conclusions.
Okay, there's five issues. The first is a tear of the transverse humeral ligament from its lesser tuberosity attachment with resulting medial...
I'm going to give you a Clapper Vision here, Steve, from Tarzana. The biceps tendon, right? When you take your arm and you look down and you want to show your guns, you make a muscle.
Yeah.
That muscle right under your skin is called the biceps muscle because bi, in Latin, bi means two, like a bicycle. So sep in Latin means head. That muscle has two heads. And you have taken the long head, the skinnier one, which goes all the way up the front of your shoulder, and instead of it staying tracking beautifully, your car driving down the 405, your car is not only in the shoulder, it's in the ditch next to the shoulder. It's not sitting true riding in the center lane up the 405 freeway. You're off to the side. So subluxation means it is off to the side because there's a transverse ligament that keeps it in place, and you've torn that ligament. It's not really anything to worry about. You can rehab your way through that. So do not let anyone shoot you with cortisone or any stem cells or other cockamamie needles. You want to rehab that. That doesn't need surgery. Okay, what's number two?
A slap tear extending into the long biceps tendon. Right.
So the anchoring site for the long head of that biceps that I just showed, told you is running up the front of your shoulder. It actually attaches. So if you had a boat tied to a dock, you have the rope, and you know what that metal thing on the dock is called that the rope is tied to? It's called a cleat, right? That's how the rope attaches the boat to the dock. Well, the rope is the biceps tendon. The cleat, the metal cleat that goes into the dock, that anchoring site is the anchoring site of the biceps tendon at the 12 o'clock position. If it's a clock, your socket of the ball and socket joint, and you have slap lesion. You've ripped that anchoring site. You've ripped the metal cleat right off the dock. Is it anything that needs an operation so fast? No, because you're 62 years old. You don't need to put stitches in it. You also, you want to try and rehab this, and there's a very good chance you won't need surgery for that either. Good. You certainly want to try rehab. No cortisone shots. Rarely I'll have to do surgery. It happens. But you want to fail therapy first. Go ahead. What's number three?
A mild to moderate rotator cuff tendinopathy.
Tendinopathy. So, at Cedars, we would call you an altacocker, okay? That's basically, Stephen, what we're talking about here. This is why our skin dries out. This is why you have gray hair or you got no hair on top of your head. You can take a choice. One of those two things is going on. That was not how you looked in your bar mitzvah picture, if you know what I mean. So you are getting older. Guess what happens? Tendinopathy. You dry out. Mild is a great word. Moderate, not such a good word, but at least there's no hole in the tendon. Number three is also something really, really good to have for physical therapy, not a guy like me with a scalpel to do surgery. What's the fourth thing?
Advanced acromioclavicular.
So advanced acromioclavicular osteoarthritis. So you got some bone spurs, a bony version of altacocceritis. So that's basically what you're dealing with. Do you have to remove those spurs? No, not so fast. Also, think of a blister. Blisters hurt. You keep rubbing, it becomes a callus. Number four is also an excellent thing that you'll try a good month or 6 weeks of physical therapy, and we'll see if that actually gets you to the promised land. So number four, also not so fast with surgery. And finally, number five.
Mild adhesive capsulitis.
Right, so mild adhesive capsulitis. So it hurts. So guess what? If it hurts, you don't want to move it so much. If you don't move it so much, the capsule that lubricates and contains the ball and socket joint doesn't see you moving it as much. So what does it do? It shrinks. It's kind of like when you you shrink wrap something, right? You put it in. I used to love, remember Bird's Eye, the peas
that they were having,
you boil it up, right? It was used to be in that plastic bag that was shrink wrapped with all the frozen peas and that butter sauce. God, I'm sure it wasn't butter, but it was like crack. That stuff tastes so fantastic. But you would take the Bird's Eye peas out of the box, and inside was that plastic thing that shrink wrapped the peas, and you'd boil it in the water, and then you'd have the greatest like peas frozen that now are delicious. Well, the shrink wrap happens in your shoulder. If you don't use it a lot, it's as though the plastic is shrinking, and that's adhesive capsulitis. What's the best way to break that up and get it moving again? A physical therapist. And not only that, but for you, Stephen, to make at home, in the garage, go to the hardware store and buy a pulley, put it in a beam in a ceiling, some clothesline, two handles, and make a pulley for yourself in the garage. Since you're Jewish and you're incapable of going to the hardware store and buying a pulley and some rope, this is the Jewish version of making a pulley. Go into your closet and take out your bathrobe, which has a nice big belt on it. Take the belt off, throw it over your closet door, and now with each hand on the front and the back of the closet door, with the rope over the belt over the top, you now have an instant pulley that you can now move your arms around. For 5 minutes every hour, you should be trying to lift your arm up. This will do as a home exercise, but getting in touch with a physical therapist close to the house, someone you like to work with, this will be an excellent way for you. And I'm optimistic for you, Steve from Tarzana, that you'll probably be able to avoid surgery. Wouldn't that be great?
Awesome. That is awesome.
All right, Steve, and I want you to listen. Look at how much I helped you right now, right?
Awesome. Yeah.
I want you to find, you're a total stranger. I never met you before. I want you to help somebody else who's a total stranger. So you need to find a total stranger today. and do something nice for them. Did you eat lunch yet? No, it's too early in the morning. You know what would be great, Stephen? If you went to a coffee shop near you in Tarzana and quietly you pointed to some old woman or old guy who's in the and you said to the lady, here's a $20 bill. When that person comes up to pay the bill, just tell them it was taken care of. And you leave, and anonymously you've paid for lunch for somebody. Wouldn't that be great?
Awesome. I'll do it.
All right, young man. Pleasure, and I look forward to meeting you.
Great.
All right, Warriors, we'll take a break. We're going to pay some bills. The number is 877-710-ESPN. But I want to tell you about what happened surfing last Sunday. Oh, my God, was it amazing. Coming up next, we'll get into it. You're listening to the one and only Weekend Warriors Show. Number is 877-710-ESPN. This is the music from the movie The Endless Summer. The Endless Summer was made by a good friend of mine, a patient of mine, named Bruce Brown, who passed away a couple of years ago, at the age of 80. I love Bruce Brown. Stayed in my house for a few days when his wife was sick, and really I got to know him very, very well. And this is from the movie he made, 1966, I think it came out, but he made it in 64, about traveling around the world. Bruce Brown was an icon for me in the world of sports and the world of surfing. This past week, on Monday, I got to go to the ESPYs prep party because I want to do a project with the V Foundation, which raises money to fight cancer. And it was great. I got to schmooze and meet all the people who are involved with the V Foundation. It was great. And I finished meeting everybody and talking to people, and I saw Adrian Peterson, and it was just great. And as I'm ready to leave, who walks in the front door? Behind the curtains, you had to have a pass to get into this event. It was great. But none other than Chris Berman. Remember Chris Berman? Chris Berman, if you're a sports fan and you're an ESPN fan, he's the Bruce Brown. Bruce Brown is surfing, but the Bruce Brown of football and for television and how we enjoyed and consumed sports. 1979 he started with ESPN when the station was launched. It was Chris Berman. And I see lots of people who are really famous and rich and this and that. But boy, my jaw dropped when he walked in. And there was that moment where I'm standing there and he's standing there. And I stuck out my hand and I introduced myself. And I looked at him like I would tell you if I met you. Look out, you're either pre-op or post-op. He looks at me and he goes, Doc, I'm post-op. I got a hip, I got a knee, I got a back, and I'm going to be playing golf, and I'm going to do... It was him. It was his voice. It was just such a pleasure to talk to him and to meet him. Yesterday in my operating room, I had a visitor from China, a surgeon who came to Cedars to learn about hip surgery, and he's not in the big city... Beijing, he's in the middle of the country. His father's actually a farmer, this young surgeon, and he came to watch surgery. And it's just so special to share knowledge and to enjoy the company of people. I don't speak Chinese, and his English is amends, amends. But you know what we speak? We speak orthopedics. So I can't tell him I want a tuna fish sandwich versus a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. He will not understand a thing I said. But he was looking into one of the surgeries I was doing. His name is Ming. I said, Ming, this is a case of impingement of the acetabulum and the labrum is torn. Pretty complicated stuff. And do you know? He's nodding his head. Because he understands every single word. Because we didn't speak English. We didn't speak Chinese. We spoke orthopedics. Thanks for joining me once again this Saturday. Until next week, I'll see you on the radio.